Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
All right, then the next thing we have is we have Ron Munkers from the Gideon's International. So he's here to kind of tell you a little bit of what he does and what he represents here. So Ron, please come up.
Okay. Are you here to hear something maybe about the Bible? Amen? Amen. Good. Well, Gideon's are about the Bible. So we're going to tell you just a little bit about what we're doing. But we've been here for the last 2 years, and you were very generous last year, and I want to thank you for that. Okay, as children enjoyed their Bible study in communist Laos, three police officers took their teacher to the local police station. Did you know that teaching these children here is against the law, they ask? On her way to the station, she prayed for wisdom. So what's the first thing you do when you get in conflict? Pray. Okay, then when they questioned her about her Christian belief, she courageously shared the gospel with them. Isn't that great? I passionately believe that God created everything because He made me. And then here's the next thing she did. The Bible states that God created the heavens and the earth and everything within it. What the eye can see and not see, He created all. The policeman asked no further questions. But you know what's neat about that gal? She did exactly what Jesus did. When Satan confronted him, he quoted scripture. So that's why we're in this game. I just got some things up here. Let's see what I'm doing. Transition time. Okay. Okay. So these Bibles, when you think of Gideon's, where do you think the Bibles are going? Hotels and motels, right? Okay. Well, one man found a Bible in his hotel room. He couldn't resist taking it, which is okay with us because we'll replace it after he leaves. So the Bible led him to the Lord. What is it with these Bibles? Well, let's start with Bible as God breathed, right? Amen to that? God, you told your people what is to write. It is our guidebook for our walk with you. It is how we learn about having a relationship with you. It's how we learn about your love for your people. Amen? Amen. Okay. Well, why did the Gideons put a Bible in his hotel room? Well, I'm going to review with you how the Gideons came to the scene. And some of you have heard this if you've heard me before. A group of born-again Christians that belong to local churches like yours felt called to spread the gospel by witnessing and handing out God's word around the world. Why did they decide to do that? Because Jesus told us to be disciples. Yes, very good. Very good. Very good. We believe Isaiah 55:11, which says, "So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for what I sent." It's amazing where we've left these Bibles and where people all, we weren't there, but the Holy Spirit was there, wasn't He? Yeah. So you just see the pattern. First, God gave us a Spirit-filled book, and then when we became Spirit-filled, and when did that happen? When you accepted the Lord. So you're equipped, and you have a Bible that gives you additional power. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. Folks, this is discipleship in motion. Faith is an action word. Faith is an action word. We are to step out in faith. We have a Bible that is Spirit-filled and the Holy Spirit to guide us. Amen? Okay. Now, this church, you're an important arm of this ministry. And the reason is because this is a partnership that we that we started back in 1899, after two men started a Gideon organization, the first relationship was initiated between the church and the Gideons. It has since grown to over 300,000 members who have distributed over 2 billion Bibles around the world in 200 countries and over 100 languages. And now we have a little card that they can have that actually puts it in their dialect. And when we were doing this a year ago, at one of the places we go to is the University of Arizona. And that's a big blitz. We have two or three Gideon groups, camps that go there. But after this one fellow got the Bible, and we had showed him, the other thing is beautiful part about the Bible is when we give him a Bible, it has a section in the front of it and in the back of it that say, if you're having problems in this, here's where you can find it in the Bible. It's like going into your dictionary. I mean, you can find these different things. And that's why people get into this, and all they do is they start getting into these different things and say, oh, yeah, I need that. So they go to it, and God gives it to them. So anyway, so it has these Bibles and New Testaments are powerful. That's the only way you can say it. They're just tremendously powerful. They change lives in places like motels, hotels, hospitals, assisted living facilities, schools, colleges, prisons, police, fire, and medical personnel. And I've just told you all the places that we go every year. And so we have hundreds of stories of how God's word has changed a person's life. As one person in prison put it, a Gideon Bible opened God's love for me. He saved me and I began to walk in God's sunlight. I thank God for lifting me up, giving me hope. He has brought Christian Gideons into my life to show me examples of Christ. God's word does not return void. Amen? Amen. All right. Pray that the doors would open so that we can place more Bibles and reach the unsaved. We want you to pray that more of our church partners will become Gideons or friends of Gideons. We need more people. We're an old community, and we have members that have gone on to the Lord, but we don't have the young blood coming in behind them, and we need them. So I just put that out for you. And finally, we want to pray that the people who receive God's word, that they open the scripture and they open their hearts to Christ. If you would like to consider a financial contribution, you can give us, you can use our Gideon card program. These cards, I think, are available in the foyer. Is that right, Larry? Oh, they're right there. Okay, good. Okay, and then you may also give a tax-deductible contribution by just using your envelopes that you received today. So those are the options for you. I conclude with one last question. Why do we need you to join us as disciples for God's word? Because we want everyone to experience the whole measure of fullness of Christ, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity and faith and knowledge of the Son of God. Amen? Amen. Okay, and we're looking forward to your participation. I want to thank Pastor Henry for his support of Gideon's and time given for me to share this important ministry. And I thank you and God bless you. And now I've been told I can switch hats for a moment. I'm one of the co-chairs of the men's ministry for E Free Church. Not a lot of people know about the Cove, but the Cove is a international center for Christian learning that was started by Billy Graham. And people that go there they have to be known all over the world in order for them to go. We have had two pastors go there just for that experience. Well, as God does sometimes, he gave us a new member that knew this speaker on a first-name basis. You can't afford these guys if you want to give them, but guess what? We've got one. So he's coming. Unfortunately, he's coming the same weekend that you guys are having your men's breakfast. But what I told the pastor, I said, you know what? Even if you heard half of it, it'd be well worth your time. But what we're going to do is offer the men in this church an opportunity to come listen on Friday, and we're not going to charge you. It's going to be on us, okay? And because I want you to be with your guys on Saturday. We'll have a Saturday breakfast too, but you guys got that scheduled. So anyway, just for you, that's something that we're planning on doing. And Pastor, I think that's it.
As Brother Ron just mentioned, if your heart's being stirred to be a part of what he's speaking of, we've got these pamphlets on the tables as you walk out. So please pick them up. And there's some envelopes inside if you haven't got one yet. But if God stirs your heart, this is your chance. So now we're going back to worship. So thank you, Brother Ron. Please give him a hand.
You know, the Bible tells us that his word won't return void. So that's the thing is, when we speak those things, when we ask, we shall receive. When we knock, the door will be open. Those things are spoken not just because they're words, because they're actual things in our lives that we can move towards. The Spirit is real. The Bible tells us it's active. I know we've said it before, but it's the reason that when you read the Bible one time, man, it's like revelation. You see one thing and you say, God, I didn't see that out of all the times I've read this, out of all the times I've been here. That wasn't there. It's because you're not just going to church. You're building a relationship. And in any relationship that you build, it takes time. But what you got to learn is that you got to trust it. You got to trust the process. That when you go through something, it's for your good because the word tells you all things work together for good. That when you stumble or you have a hard time, he's saying, I'm refining you through the fire. Where you see a storm, he sees an opportunity. Because every single thing in your life is meant to increase you. It's meant to build you up. It's meant to give you more. Because he didn't desire for you to just exist. He placed things within your life for a reason. Because before you were even a thought, he knew exactly what you would be doing later down the line. It's why the Bible talks about the building process, about things being built precept upon precept, because as you move through things is where you learn. As you push through, as you go through it, is where you begin to see things in your life just come forth. But you gotta allow him to be the one to do it. You gotta allow him to speak to you. And in those moments when you don't know what to do, it's your breath in my lungs till we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. Because where you struggle, he already knows there's victory. Because where you're having a hard time, he already knows the solution. Where you struggle to see why is this happening, he already knows. Just go through it. Just keep pushing through and listen to me because I'm going to give you something out of it. I'm going to make you better than you were before. I'm going to weed out the things that shouldn't be there and I'm going to replace it with the things that I have for you because I spoke life, because I gave you life, because life is supposed to be life more abundantly.
Hello? Okay. As she was talking about life, I've really felt encouraged by the Holy Spirit to come and just rebuke death off of you. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke death off of you, and I replace it with life. I replace it with the love. I replace it with your future. He has plans for each one of you. And it's not because the fear. Love does not let fear come in. So we need to love so fear can go out. He wants to love us. He wants to show us. But I just want to embrace and speak love to you and life. And they go together. We can't have the fear. We can't have the idea of death, because fear brings death. And life brings wholeness in Jesus' name. And it is the love that he is here. He says his love will change everything. His loving kindness brings us to repentance. And repentance only changes what we do. So if you start looking at your future, you start looking with gladness that you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you, that nothing has to hold you back because he's with you. And he will never leave you or forsake you. So in Jesus' name, I speak life to you and to this church. And I say amen and amen, amen. In Jesus' name.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and go into Daniel. And Daniel chapter 7. So we'll see if we've got some scriptures to show you this morning. Hallelujah. Because you know what? We really depend on Abe and Terry. And those are our two audiovisual guys. And we really depend on them. And both of them are out today. So we go, oh no, what are we going to do? Hallelujah. So, hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. God, we know that your word is true. We know that we know, God, that whatever your word says, Father God, we can stand on it, we can believe it, because it's your word. So, Father, as we come before you this morning, we ask you, Lord, that you would open our hearts to hear what you have to say to us personally. Father, we know that you are in charge. And, Lord, that you have a word for us today. So, Father, we want to hear it. Wherever we're at, Father God, I know that you, Holy Spirit, can speak to the hearts. So right now, Father God, cause everyone to hear like they've never heard before. Let your word be rich in their life. Let your word find a place that will help them to understand that you love them more than they even know. I thank you for that, Father, and I praise you for it. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to start with Daniel chapter 7. The title of the sermon today is Time to Shine. Amen. How many say, I was watching a Super Bowl character. I'm not even sure how I don't know what his name is, but I was just watching him and he's all excited. He's a football player and he's all excited about today. And he must've said it like four times, time to shine, time to shine, time to shine. Like we never shined before, but he was on LA's on the Rams team. So is it time for them to shine, Oscar? Yeah, come on, man. My son-in-law, my grandson, he loves L.A. Let me say amen. Anybody love L.A.? Yeah. Anybody? Yeah, you guys aren't, hey, we're not supposed to talk about football up here, amen? Hallelujah. But maybe God will grab your heart, amen? Come on, no, just kidding. But wait, Oscar, come here. But my grandson's dad, it almost seems like every time, whatever my grandson is for, look at this. My grandson's for L.A. Look at this shirt. Yeah. Beat L.A. Get out of here. Hallelujah. Praise God, man. So, I think he's just upset because the L.A. beat the Cardinals. Amen. Come on, man. Rick goes, yeah. Praise God, man. Well, this guy was saying, hey, it's time to shine, time to shine. How many know it's time to shine? I mean, as a Christian, how many know it's time to shine? God's been placing things in your heart. He's adding things to your heart, adding things to your heart. And you know what? God wants you to shine. Is that okay?
Praise God. I want you to hear what Daniel. How many love Daniel? Daniel was a good man. You know, he's one of those guys that, you know, you can look in the Word of God, you won't find anything wrong with Daniel. Is that okay? He's a good guy. God used him a lot to speak to Israel, and he's using him to speak to us today. Amen? Daniel even told about future events. And so I want to, in Daniel chapter 7, I'm going to start at verse 22. The Word of God says this. I'm going to start at verse 21, Bear. Let me go to 21. Give her a challenge today. Let her learn that computer really good, because we, praise God, hallelujah. Are you going to be able to get it, babe? There you go. 21, hallelujah. The Word of God says, as I beheld, as I watched, this horn was waging war against the holy people and defeating them. Is that okay? This horn that it's talking about is a form of government, okay? Well, you have to go say all right with that. It's a form of government, is government, and it was waging war with the holy people and defeating them. Is there any way you can get this to the King James? I'm sorry. I'm a King James fan. How many are King James fans? Anybody? I mean, just three of you. That's okay. Well, the rest of you can suffer through this, because we're gonna give you the King James this morning, maybe. Hallelujah. It says, right, I beheld the same horn made war with who? The saints. Who's the saints? Look at your neighbor and point at him and say, you are. Yeah, point at your Beverly, brother. You're the saint. How many say, I ain't no saint? Yeah, you are. Praise God. If you believe in Jesus Christ, if he died for your sins, he washed them all away, you're a saint. Is that okay? Sounds kind of weird, huh? Walk around Walmart and tell people, hey, I'm a saint. See what they do for you. See, it's kind of weird, yeah. Anyway, it says, behold, the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came. Until the Ancient of Days came. Who is the Ancient of Days? Do you guys know? What's his name?
Jesus.
This guy, until the Ancient of Days came, judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Jesus told Nicodemus, look, man, I am coming to set up a kingdom. Is that right? He said, man, you know, he said, you must be born again to even see the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit has to do something within you so that he can show you that God is working with you. Is that okay? He said another, and Jesus, just a couple of verses later, you must be born of water and of the Spirit to enter the kingdom of God. Isn't that crazy? How many of you are born again? How many of you believe God? Hallelujah. You got to believe God for what he says. Jesus told Nicodemus that, and he says, I'm coming to set up a kingdom. How many know this kingdom is not like any other kingdom that we've ever seen? Can I just say this to you for this? What we kind of use for kings and kingdoms is what kind of what we've seen on the earth and we've heard on the earth, but we've got no idea what this kingdom is like. Can I say that to you? It's bigger than what you can even imagine. Is that right? What you can imagine the most, it's even bigger than that. Is that okay? I'm going to say this again. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. Neither has it entered in the heart of man or in any of you the things that God has prepared for those that love him. Every one of us, God has prepared something for you, and he wants you to have it. How many say amen? And it's a kingdom. I'm going to read you a little more out of Daniel. And you, Rebecca, you don't have to keep up with this, but a little more out of Daniel chapter 7. If you get a chance, go home and read Daniel chapter 7. Talks a lot about these beasts and these kings and these horns that were against the kingdom, against God's kingdom. But I want you to hear these words, because today is the day that we need to be hearing these words, because God's setting up this kingdom. It's still the intent of God. Can I say that to you? It's still his intent. Verse 13 says, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man. Who's that? Who's that? Man, weak crowd today. One like the Son of Man. His name is Jesus. I'm going to say, Jesus. There you go. Thank you, John. Praise God. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. See, you see, Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit are one. Amen? So when you say the Ancient of Days, you're calling all of them. You're talking about all of them. Is that okay? All three. Here Jesus shows up in front of the Ancient of Days. And I'm going to take you back to Revelation chapter, I'm not sure yet. Let me look. Chapter 5. And if you want to keep up with this, Becca, may it be good. But I'm going to start without you. Is that okay? Praise God. It says, Revelation chapter 5, starting at verse 1, it says, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?' And no man in heaven, nor on the earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon." Verse 4 says, "And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon." Can I tell you something? If there's anything about the Word of God that I know of, God has to reveal it to you. Is that okay? Hallelujah. Sometimes you get born again and you get born by a word. But God, by his Spirit, what he does, he as you go into the Word of God, he begins to show you things, and he begins to reveal his word to you personally. Can I tell you, his word has to be revealed to you personally to strengthen you. Is that okay? All right. So here Jesus, here John in the book of Revelation is talking about, "And I saw an angel proclaiming, who is worthy to open this book, to release the seals, to release those things that are hidden." How many say amen? How many want the hidden things that God has for you? He's got so much for you, you got no idea. And he said, who is worthy to open it? There was nobody in heaven worthy to open the book. Is that weird? They're in heaven. Who can open this book? Nobody. Nobody. What do you mean nobody? Nobody. There's nobody here that can open this book. Crazy. It's God's book. It's God's book. And the Bible, John says, "I began to weep much." Is that what it says? "I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon." But then he says, let me see, she didn't get that. "And one of the elders said unto me, 'Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah.'" Who's that? Jesus. Yeah, there you go. A little louder. Jesus. Yeah, are you still awake? Yeah. Just over there? Yeah, my wife over there. Are you awake, babe? See. "And one of the elders said unto me, 'Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof.' And he says, 'And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of a throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a," what? "A lamb as it had been," what? "Having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps, golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'You are worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for you were slain and has redeemed us to God by your blood out of every kindred and every tongue and people and nation.'" Isn't that cool? That's good. Let's go back to Daniel, where Daniel's seeing these things. Daniel's prophesying these things. And he said, verse 14, he says, "And there was given to him dominion and glory and a kingdom." Dominion, glory, and a kingdom. This was given to Jesus. Is that okay? From who? From God. God who? God the creator. God the creator. God the creator of heaven and earth, gave him dominion, glory, and a kingdom that all people, everybody say all.
All.
How many is all?
All.
All. Good or bad. Is that right? All is all. How many say amen? All people, all nations, and languages should serve who? Serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. How many say, everybody say, not pass away? It's not going anywhere. How many say amen to that? It will not pass away, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. Is that right? What kingdom is he talking about? He's talking about the kingdom that you, my friend, are in. It's his kingdom, and it is an everlasting kingdom. Come on. It's for all nations, all languages, amen? All peoples. Does all mean all? All means all. It's for everybody, hallelujah, that everyone should serve him. How many of you are serving God this morning? Praise God, man. Hallelujah. And this dominion shall not pass away, and his kingdom that shall not be destroyed. You see, Jesus received a kingdom, and he turns around and he gives it. Check this out. In the same chapter in verse 26, it says, judgment shall sit. They shall take away his dominion, talking about the man of the world. They're going to take away his dominion and consume it to destroy it to the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And all dominions shall serve and obey him. Can I tell you, folks, we are getting close. We're getting close to see the kingdom exposed in the earth like it's never been exposed before. You're going to see things. I mean, I don't know how many times God's going to have me say it, but we have seen the foundations that we're used to trusting crumbling. And you say amen to that. You got your educational foundation. That thing is beginning to crumble. Amen. It's driven by greed. How many say amen? I mean, the insurance that we go, all those things, those foundations are beginning to crumble right before our eyes. I mean, say amen to that. Do you understand that? Do you see that even our medical, what we trust for our medicine and our, for, I mean, can you see it crumbling right before our eyes? I will tell you, God is going to go after every foundation that you are putting your trust in. Can I tell you that? He's going to come after you, man, because you belong to him. And he says, you're going to find out that I am your only answer.
Right. Amen.
I'm the only. How many know that God is the only answer?
Amen.
He's the only one. There ain't no other answer but God. Hallelujah. And you know what's good about God? He says he's going to watch over and he's going to protect you. How many say amen to that? The word of God says that he hasn't given us the spirit of fear. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
Well, we could just stop right there. Amen? Are we living in a time of fear? People are afraid all over the place. Amen? Do you know why? Because they don't know him that has told them, do not fear. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I am with you always. Is that what Jesus said? Even unto the end. Is that right?
Right.
Randy, is that true? Amen. How do you know it's true? Because he said it's true. Do you know it's true? Do you know it's true? Grab the mic, bro. Come here, man. Come here. Grab the mic. Tell me the story you're telling me about when you were up on, you were putting somebody's house, I don't know, three stories up.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me that story. Tell them that story. Folks, I'm gonna tell you, these things are real. They are real.
Scary stories.
Scary stories.
I was telling Henry that God probably saved me from death at least a dozen times.
You know, and Rosie said, you're what, like a cat with nine lives? I go, no, I got 12 lives.
More than that.
And I was telling you, I was doing construction in Malibu, and there was a house being built right on the cliff, and nobody wanted to bid on it because there was no scaffolding to put up the siding on the side of the house. And my Christian brother won the bid. He put an outrageous bid, and he got the bid. So we were doing the job. So we couldn't have any scaffolding. So we put 2x4s in the side of the framing, nailed it in, and we put a 2x10 plank on the 2x4, and then we were putting the siding, just standing on a 2x10 plank. We're three stories up, and there's rebar sticking up. So if we fell, it would be a quick death. So we didn't have to worry. So I said, we might as well put a rope around our neck like a noose. So if we fall, we just hang and we'll be done. You know?
Did he tell you, are you a Christian? No problem. You'll be fine.
Yeah, we're Christians, so we had no fear. So we're at the top level, and we're putting the last piece of plywood, and it's the pitch. And we cut it so tight that we're pushing it in. We forgot to nail the plank. So as we pushed the plywood in, the whole plank slipped back. And it went to the edge of the 2x4. Good thing we had the 2x4 was about 4 feet long, but it went right to the edge. And my partner on the plank with me said he saw me doing the limbo. Right. And I can't do the limbo. And I was back so far with holding the sheet of plywood, and he said he saw somebody like push me back on the plank. You know.
Come on, man.
So we put that piece of plywood up, nailed it off, and we went home, man.
Yeah.
I said, you know what? Lord, thank you, because if I had failed that day, you know, I wouldn't be here.
Come on, man. Praise God.
You would have been a widow again.
You've been a widow. Praise God. Thank you, brother.
Oh. Okay. Thank you, Henry.
Come on. Please, God, man. Let me just say this. He is real. His promises are real. He says, I will be with you even until the end of the... And I'm going to tell this story, too, because it was just kind of one of those scary stories. And you guys like scary stories. Yeah, and I'm going to tell it because my supervisor is here. And he might not have heard it before. I was on the belt crew at the mine for a while. And there was a crew of four of us. We were doing belts. And they sent us up to change the belt on number 8 mil feed belt. Derek, you know which one that is, huh? And number 8 mil feed belt has a catwalk that runs right along the side of it. Most of them don't. Some of them do. I guess it's every two belts or something. There will be a catwalk. No, I think there's one on every one, isn't there? There's one on every one. Yeah, so anyway, there's a catwalk along the side of this belt. And our supervisors have told us we got to pull these idlers. The idlers are the things that roll, the belt rolls on. They're little cans of that roll on bearings so that belt will go up and dump ore into the mill. Well, I was cutting bolts out of these because we realign them and make sure with a brand new belt we want to make sure they're good. So I'm cutting bolts. I'm standing on the belt, and that belt is at an incline. And it's supposed to be, before we even cut the belt loose, we're supposed to put a clamp on it to hold it in place so we can grab it with a crane and pull it out. I don't know if most of you are going, I don't get it, but it you'll get it in a minute. But I know my supervisor gets it. Yeah, amen. So I'm standing on the belt and I'm cutting, and while I'm cutting, that catwalk is about right here on me. And I'm cutting the bolts off of the idlers, and then all of a sudden I feel the belt move just a little bit. I felt it shift. So instead of looking up to see what was going on, I just kind of repositioned myself. And when I stood up, I saw some shoes sitting right there. Somebody was standing there watching me. I said, it's probably one of the supervisors. They like watching. Is that right? It's probably my supervisor. Rick wasn't my supervisor then. But so they like watching. So anyway, I'm cutting. And then what happened was the guy that he was cutting the belt, and he hadn't put the clamp on it. So when he cut it, he finally got all the way through it. It took off, and I'm standing on it. And I've got the torch in my hand. It's flaming, and I'm kind of dancing. And I wanted to throw it up on that catwalk, but I remember somebody was there, and I didn't want to burn them. So I really didn't know what to do. That belt, as soon as it would have passed below me, there's some holes in this framework that hold all these idlers. I would have dropped it probably about 30 feet. I don't know, maybe 25, 30 feet. I would have fallen onto the concrete. But in my little dance I'm doing with my torch, all of a sudden somebody grabbed me and picked me up. And the belt went all the way down and set me back down where I could see the frame. And I stood on the frame, turned off the torch, and put it up there. And when I turned around, there was absolutely nobody there. Nobody there. And that this is the thing about God. He watches over his people. Can I tell you, he's got a purpose for you. And he will watch over you and take care of you if you will just believe him. A lot of times people don't believe that God is even has anything wants to do with them. And so therefore they live their lives in a way that God cannot place his hands on them to help them. Can you say amen to that? How many know that God can do anything? But there are times where his hands are tied because that person will not believe on him. If I didn't believe, I would have probably said, oh, my lucky stars pulled me up. I don't know what I would have said. Who knows what I would have said? Thank you. But folks, we are in a kingdom, and in this kingdom, God has not only his promises on us, but he's got angels over us. He watches over us, and he commands them to watch over us. Is that okay? Is that right? Can I tell you today that you're in a good position? You're in a good place. Because of the love of God. The love of God. That's why it is because God loves you. Do you know that? How many times have you maybe had a little scary deal? How many times have you maybe, you know, if something would have changed, I could have been dead. How many have ever stepped off a sidewalk and they decided to get back on and all of a sudden the bus goes by? I mean, there are things that God does for you, the angels of God, and a lot of times he doesn't even get credit for it. Is that right? Because, folks, he's invisible. Everybody say invisible. How many would you like to be invisible? Would you really? Would you? Because God's invisible and people forget about him all the time. Amen? How many of you want to be invisible? Oh, man, don't forget about me. Don't forget me. Amen? You're in a kingdom. This kingdom is ruled by a king. Who's the most powerful king the world has ever seen. And yet he came as a humble man to die on a cross for you. How many say amen to that? He knew that you needed a savior. Is that right? You needed somebody to wash your sins away. Is that right? Hallelujah. And he did that by his own blood. God sent his only son into the earth to die for you. Isn't that sweet? What a bargain. Come on, man. The king. The king died for you. That's a different. Who? The king. The king of kings and the lord of lords died for you. Laid his life down so that you might have life and that you might have it more abundant. Hallelujah. That's the king of this kingdom that we're in. How many say amen to that? Come on. Makes me want to shout. Makes me want to run. Hallelujah. Come on, man. The king. What's his name?
Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. He's got a kingdom, and he's got people in this kingdom. But folks, I'm going to tell you something. God wants us to press into this kingdom. How do you say amen to that? God wants you to push in because sometimes, you know, sometimes it takes your pushing to find out even what God has for you. God has visions and purpose and plans in each and every one of your lives, everybody. He's got a purpose and a plan for you. And he wants to reveal it to you, but you have to press him. You got to say, God, would you show me what you have for me? Lord, would you allow me to see those things that you have for me? Show me, Lord. Show me what's going to be in the life of my kids. Because the word of God says that he will show you things to come. Is that okay? You can ask him to see what he's going to do for your kids. Is that okay? I ask him, God, what are you going to do for my kids? You know what he said to me? In the last days, saith the Lord, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And he said this to me, your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will dream dreams. And you know what? And you know what? I was telling my wife, I said, you know what? You know what I like about what God has said? My son, he prophesies. My daughter, you guys have heard, she prophesies. See, his word is true if you believe it. Do you believe what he says? See, you're in a kingdom. And this kingdom does not operate at all the way you see things operating on the earth. Is that okay? Can I say that to you? So he wants you to press. Is that right? He wants you to press. Matthew chapter 11, you start at verse 2. Jesus is talking to his disciples, okay? Matthew chapter 11, I'm going to start at verse 2. Now when John had heard in prison the works of Christ, we're talking about John the Baptist, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, are you he that should come, or do we look for another? I still don't get John in this question. He knows that was the Lamb of God that he saw. Amen? John told his disciples when Jesus was coming down to the river, that behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. A couple of those guys that heard him, Andrew was one of them, believed him and went and told his brother. He said, behold, the Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world. So why he said, he says, anyway, John heard that heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, are you he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said to them, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Can I tell you, folks, those are characteristics of the kingdom of God. Can I say that to you? That's what the king does. He says he's given those things to us. So can I tell you, you can see in your lifetime, you can see blind receive their sight. You can see the lame walk. Is that okay? Yeah, you got a friend, you got somebody in your family that can't walk. I said, I'm going to lay my hands on you, bro, and I'm going to watch you walk. Is that okay? Praise God. Hallelujah. If you believe God. Can I tell you, belief and faith are important to God. He wants you to believe him. Without faith, it's impossible. Say it, impossible to please God. So how will you see these things? You won't see him if you don't believe him. Oh, but if you believe him, and he says into your heart, he says, go pray for him. Go pray for that person. Go do this. Go. I want to heal them. Oh, man, you just go do what he tells you to do, and you watch the kingdom of God. These are characteristics of this kingdom that we're in. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised up. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. How many ever seen the dead raised up? Yeah, give me a hand. Anybody? Come on, man. Every one of you have. Every one of you. If you've been born again, I'm going to tell you something. You died and he rose you. He raised you up. He brought life into you. And he said, hey, you're my son. You're my daughter. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. You've seen the dead. You've seen the deaf hear. Is that right? Remember, before you knew anything about God, you couldn't hear. You couldn't tell what he was saying to you. Is that all right? I remember well. I really thought I knew God till I found out I didn't know God. Because he showed me, no, you got no idea what I'm like, Henry. When I came to the Lord, my salvation was a little bit different. A brother in the Lord took me to a church revival. How many say amen? How many like revivals? Well, this brother asked me, he goes, Henry, won't you come to church with me? I said, all right. What day? He goes, Sunday? He goes, no, it's a Friday night. Friday? I don't know about Friday. Friday night. That, to me at the time, it was beer night. Yeah, but I said, no, I said, okay, we'll go. So I told Rosie, we're going to go to the church with this brother. She goes, okay. So she gets in the car. She's real willing. I get to his house. He says, just follow me over there. So he takes us over to this place. And when we're pulling in, it's a great big one of those tents. Remember, how many of you guys have seen them tents around? Anybody seen tents? And Rosie looks at me. She goes, oh, no. I go, what's that? She goes, my dad told me to stay out of these things. And I said, babe, hey, we're already here. And I don't want to tell him. I said, let's just go in and then, you know, get him off my back. How many say amen to that? How many ever had somebody ask, come on, come to church. Okay, I'm going to come with you one time. That way I can get you off my back. Is that okay? So I said, all right. So we go in there. And I had an eye injury at work. And he knew about it. My friend did. And so when we went in there, the evangelist came out and he goes, hey, we're going to do something a little bit different today. He says, we're going to go ahead and bring people up here to be healed, prayed for, so the Lord can heal them, so we can go on with the service. And go, oh, boy. And I go, well. So I'm kind of grumbling because I said, man, these are crazy folk. How many say amen to that? These people, they don't know what's going on. They're crazy. How many say amen? Are we crazy?
Yeah.
Come on. Crazy. Come on, man. Oh, man, they don't know what's going on. So my friend starts telling me, Rosie's sitting next to me and his wife is sitting on the other side. So my friend starts telling me, she goes, hey, he goes, come on, man, God can heal your eye. That's okay, man, it's all right, I'm good. No, he can heal your eye, I'm good. Come on, I'll go with you. Okay, so I get up and I walk up there with him and I'm standing there. And Rosie had told me before, she, don't you leave me in here. This is what she told me. So I get up and he's talking to me. There's a long line across the front of this thing. And he's on that end over there and he's praying for people. And my friend is talking to me. And the next thing I know, I feel this pulling on my shirt and I turn around. Guess who's there? Rosie, she's right there. She goes, she looks at me. She goes, I told you not to leave me. Do I told you? You never listen to me, right? You know? She goes, I told you not to leave me. I said, oh, man. I said, I'm sorry, man. I forgot. So this evangelist gets to her. Folks, this is crazy. Gets to her and he goes, what can I do for you? And she's just looking at him. And then he stops and goes, he kind of steps back. He goes, your dad told you never to come into one of these. And I go, what? And I'm looking at my friend. I go, there ain't no way you could have ran over there. I mean, he didn't even know what my wife had said to me in the car. I go, what? I heard him with my own ear. And she just started crying. And he put his hand up. And next thing I know, my wife. And I'm looking at this guy. I go, what in the world is going on? Can I tell you, I'm very new to this kind of stuff. Is that okay? So I go, he steps over in front of me. He says, what can I do for you? I'm a little nervous. I mean, say amen. I'm a little afraid of the guy. A little mad at my friend for bringing me here. And I pulled off my glasses, and I'm holding in my hand like this. And instead of telling him about my eye, I told him, if God's real, I want to know. He smiled at me, took my glasses out of my hand, stuck them in my pocket for me. Put his hand up, and that's the last thing I remember. I saw his hand coming at me, and next thing I know, I was out. I was, folks, floating. I'm seriously floating. I didn't see myself, but I felt like I was floating. Years before that, I was in a CYO dance. Is anybody a CYO? Did you see CYO dance? I was in CYO, and somebody had put something in my beer out in the parking lot. And when I drank it, I went in the, and I'm not usually a dancer because I always try to play the guitar or do something with a band. But I went in there, and I was... Let's dance. Who knows how I was dancing in there? But that's how I felt. It was a feeling that I'd never felt before. I mean, I literally felt like I was floating. Next thing I know, I hear this talking going on. And I open my eyes and I'm looking at the top of the tent. I'm looking straight up. I go, what am I? And I hate being the center of attention. How many like being the center of attention? Anybody? You like being that? I don't know. Yeah, I hate being the center of attention. And this guy's talking, and he wasn't just talking, he was preaching. And he come over and he looked at me and goes, oh, you're back. And I looked at him and I just kind of, I got up and I went over and I sat down next to my buddy and my wife. And he's laughing at me. He said, Henry, you were up there for more than 20 minutes on your back. And I told him, shut up. That's what I said. And folks, it was real. It was super real. He asked me to come the next week. And I said, well, I'm going to ask my wife. I wasn't too crazy about it. I said, well, I'm going to ask my wife. But I felt something. God showed me something. The next week I told, no, brother, let me ask my wife. So I went home and asked Rosa, hey, he wants to take us to church again. Let's go. She was all, what?
She got all full broken.
So I said, okay. So I told him, I said, yeah, we'll be there. So, but he goes, but it's not the tent revival. He's going to preach inside of, it's on veterans, right close to the veterans hospital. So there's a little shotgun church there. And we go in and I remember the church is full, just packed with people. We're about halfway back. This church was had an aisle on the side, a wide aisle in the middle, and another aisle on the other side, just pews. And we're halfway back on the left side and full of people. We're sitting right in the middle of the pew. I'm sitting right in the middle. And it's the same brother preaching. And he's preaching away, preaching away, preaching away. And then he stops and he looks at and he just goes, you. Come here. And folks, you know, I saw people looking around like, who's he talking to? But it was crazy. I stood up. Hey. Hey. Folks, I knew he was talking to me.
That's right.
I knew it. It was crazy. And my reaction was so cool. I saw people looking around saying, who's he talking to? And boom, I stood up. And I walked over the edge and I started walking towards the front. And before I even got there, he said, that's good. And he put his hand up and I was down again. When I opened my eyes, there was a guy sitting on the pew. He's looking at me. He goes, you okay? I said, man, yeah. And I knew that God was getting my attention. How many say amen to that? And I know sometimes, you know what? This sounds crazy, doesn't it? So if you don't know anything about how God will act with how he will touch you and how he will speak to you and how he desires to let you know how much he's in love with you. You see, he had a plan for me that I didn't know about. If he would have told me back then, I would have went back to drinking. If he would have said to me, Henry, you're going to be a pastor in a church in Green Valley, and I'm going to get you, I'm going to pay for a bowling alley for you so that you can do this for me, I would have said, not me. I didn't know enough. Even today, I feel like I don't know enough. All I know is that I love God, and I will do anything for him that he asked me to do. I will do it in an instant, but I have learned that I have to do only what he tells me to do. No other, nothing else. I don't have to prove myself. All I have to do is be obedient. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
Obedience in the kingdom is so important. It's so important. Do you remember the story about the fish where Peter told, they asked Peter and Jesus, they were going into somebody's house, I guess it was. And the tax collector asked, does your master pay taxes? And Peter just answered, yeah, he does. Walked away. He said, I ain't got no money. he pays taxes. Jesus grabs Peter and says, Peter, he says, for who do the kings of the earth put taxes on? For their children or for the people? Easy question. Is that right? Who do they do that to? Hey, Peter answered, he goes, oh, for the people. And Jesus says, then the children are free, correct? correct? Folks, you got to hear this. You got to hear this because there's more to it than just this little story. Folks, everything you get comes from the Lord. He wants to give you everything you need. Everything comes to you. It's free by the kingdom of God. Is that okay? Hallelujah. He tells Jesus. Jesus tells Peter, he says, you know what? He goes, okay, I'll tell you what. He says, go down to the lake. Throw in your net, throw in your fishing pole. And the first fish you pull out, open its mouth, and there'll be a piece of gold in there. He says, give that piece of gold to them for us. Isn't that cool? Yeah. But think about the fish. Amen? You got to think about this poor little fish. He's swimming around happy, swimming around the lake. He goes, I think I'll get over by the shore. And he sees a fish hook. He goes, oh, I'm going to go around this thing. And the Lord says to him, hey, you see that piece of gold there? And fish is swimming around. Yeah, they're all over here. How many say amen? He says, pick it up. He could pick it up. So he picks it up with his mouth. He goes, okay, what? He says, now see that hook? Yeah, get on it. You've got to be kidding me, God. How many say amen to that? That fish is going, yeah, I ain't doing that. No way. I know what that hook is for. How many say amen? The hook, get on it. You kidding me? Get on it. Can I tell you, even the creation obeys the Lord. The whole creation obeys God. The biggest part he has problem is with us. That's where God has all the trouble. If it was me, I would have wiped you all out. How many say amen? I'm not as forgiving as God is. I said, man, let's start over. Come on. We're in a kingdom. And this kingdom is supplied by the resource of God. God himself is the source of this kingdom. And you're in it. You should have nothing to be afraid of. How many say amen to that? Huh. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and a sound mind. I want to tell you, I want to keep going in this, in Matthew, where he's chapter 11, right? Is that where I was at? I was on verse 5, barely. Okay. Can you guys tell I get a little excited? Yeah. Verse 5, it's okay. Praise God. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, what did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken in the wind? What did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? I'm going to tell you, he was not clothed in soft raiment. How many of you guys remember what he was clothed in? He had animal skins on, around his and his loins were loincloth, and I mean, he was hairy. How many say, amen? He was just outdoor guy, amen? What'd you go out to see? He says, behold, they that wear soft clothing are in king's houses. But what did you go to see? A prophet? Yea, and I say to you, more than a prophet. For this is he whom it was said, behold, my messenger, I will send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare your way before you. Verily I say to you, among them that are born of women, there has not risen a greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding he is least in the kingdom of heaven. He that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And verse 12 says this, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. It sounds kind of weird. This kingdom of God suffers violence and the violent take it. It's the picture of a person going after God with all his heart. That's the violence that the kingdom of God is suffering. Darren, come here, bro. John, come here. Randy, come here. Hallelujah. I just got to give you this picture of what it's talking about, because here are let's call these two guys adversaries, okay? And we're going to call this guy God.
Oh,
oh yeah. Wave your hand, God. Hey, now here's the picture. The picture is because there. Let me just say that there's somebody that wants to keep you out. Is that right? This whole world system is trying to keep you out. They're even telling you stuff that you shouldn't be listening to, because they're trying to keep you out from the place where God is. And so these two adversaries, you know, a lot of us were used to just saying, Lord, hey, God, you know, hey, man, you know. But see, these guys are trying to keep you out. So what God, the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violence, take your glasses off, because I'm going to hit you. No, I'm not. that's the picture. He wants you to push into this kingdom. Is that okay? That's what he's talking about. God wants, you guys can sit down. Thank you. Thank you, God. God wants you to push into this kingdom, because it's very important to you. Because the more you push, the more of the kingdom begins to settle in on you. And when it's settling in on you, then, man, you know what? Hey, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Is that okay? Because God is for you. He's not against you, but he needs you to come after him. Is that okay? Go after God with all your heart and all your soul. Now watch this. From the time of John the Baptist until now, I love the way those scriptures say it. Jesus said it this way, from the time of John the Baptist. Before John the Baptist, it was all prophets. Is that right? But now something has changed. The Holy Spirit has come to live within you. And now it's from the time of John the Baptist until now. Jesus was saying now, but that now is even right now. I mean, this now is happening right now. He said, you're going to push into the kingdom and you're going to receive the things that I have for you. Is that okay? Hallelujah. Folks, do not be a person that just sits back and lets things go. Whatever's going on around you, take a look at it and say, Lord, I'm going to talk to you about this. I'm watching these tanks showing up over in what's that state? What's that country? Ukraine. I'm watching these tanks and I'm looking at that. I was watching the news. I go, wow, man, this looks like the Armageddon getting ready to have me say. I mean, anybody has thought that way? Well, I thought, but see, God said, no, it's not yet. Don't worry. But I'm just saying, well, God, it just looks that way. Yeah, well, it's not yet. I've got things to do yet. Right. Is that okay? Right. God wants to use his kingdom to reveal things in the earth. Hallelujah. So it's crazy. So those prophets prophesied until John, but now something else is different. The Holy Spirit has come to help you and to be with you in everything you do. Is that okay? And then it says this, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. Touch your ear real quick. Everybody, touch an ear. Touch the other one the other way. Say, Lord, give me ears to hear. Say that to him. Say, Father, give me ears to hear. Because if there's any time we need to be hearing God, today's the day. This time that we're living in, because everything, like I'm telling you, everything is coming against you. You might not realize that we can go to our Safeway and those shelves are still stocked. Is that right? Things are coming against anybody. Is that right? This world system, God is shaking it. Can I say that to you? He's going to shake it. How many like to be on something that's shaking? How many like your car to be shaking? Driving down the road and all of a sudden the steering wheel starts going, what? God is shaking the kingdom. He's shaking it. And he says in another place, I'm going to shake it so that anything that cannot be shaken will remain. Is that okay? That's cool. So watch this. Then he says this, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. We've got to be hearing. And then he tells us, he says this, and I love this part of it. He said, but whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling to their fellows, saying, we have piped to you and you've not danced. We have mourned to you and you have not lamented. And then he says this, for John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he is the devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a wine bibber and a friend of publicans and sinners. And then he says, wisdom is justified in this, in children. I used to get tangled up with this. I go, well, God, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? He, and I begin to see it in the kingdom. Can I tell you something? The adversary is trying to get you so focused on your fellows. Is that right? Know what it says? It says on the fellows, he says, they are, verse 16, where should I liken this generation? It's like children sitting in markets calling to their fellows. I have seen more than I need to see. Of people sending me stuff about other churches. People sending me stuff about this church is failing and this church is failing. And look at what this music team is doing. And look, people send me, can I say, as a pastor of church, people send me this stuff. And you know what? I've gotten to where I don't care. I don't want to see it. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
I don't need to see it. You see, we have turned into a generation of people calling to our fellows, talking to each other, and not talking to him.
That's it.
Who are the two people that he mentions in this? He says, number one is John the Baptist. He came not eating or drinking, and you say he has a devil. And then he puts himself up. He says, and I came eating and drinking with a publican, and you say I'm a wine bibber, a friend of sinners. Aren't you glad Jesus is a friend of sinners? But see, do you see what he's telling them? The two people that are actually focused on the kingdom are the ones that are being ridiculed. Can you hear me? Do you hear what he's saying? The people that are actually with a purpose and doing, John the Baptist had his purpose. Jesus was working out his purpose. He was headed to a cross. And everybody that should have been noticing was too busy calling to their fellows and saying, look at these guys or whatever. And that's what we do with one another. Can I tell you that a house divided cannot stand? Can I tell you, if you're coming against somebody else, some other church, you know what? God knows about it. Leave them alone. Let God take care of it. And you mind your own business. I told God I wasn't going to say that to you, but he told me to say it. He told me you need to be watching your own business. And you know what, folks? It's a plague in the Christian, in the world of Christians. We talk about anybody and everybody. We send each other videos and look what they're doing now. Come on, man. Leave them alone. God's not called you to that. He has called you for a purpose and a place in this kingdom, and you need to be going after him and what he's saying. Hallelujah. I've got to tell you, folks. The Lord told me that I've got to reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Folks, this is a reproof to the body of Christ. It really is. You can't be doing that. Stop going after Christians. Stop going after people that don't know the Lord. Stop. The compassion of God is for the whole earth. He loves them and he died for them. Who do you think you are? Come on, man. I don't like sermons like this. I don't. But God says, this is what I want you to say. You've got no choice. I said, Lord, help me to say it. And I can feel it. I don't know, but it feels like my hair is standing up. I put a little extra gel this morning because I said, I don't know, my hair is going to stand up. Come on, man. I will tell you that God is saying it's time for the body of Christ to be about the Father's business. Nothing else. Hallelujah. So however that hits you and feeds you, hallelujah, praise God. But I will tell you, you're here today because God wants to talk to you. Is that okay? I'm sorry, Rick. Come on, man. We cannot be doing that. God is building a kingdom. And this kingdom is not going to have all these certain factions in it. His spirit is going to strengthen those that believe what he's doing. And you don't have to worry about the rest. Is that okay?
Right,
come on. Hallelujah. A couple more scriptures. It says this. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. If you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, for Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth, for you are what?
Dead.
And your life is hid with Christ. Is that okay? Amen. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? When you believe that Jesus died for your sins, you died on that cross right next to him. He took your sins. He took you to the cross with him. He died for your sins. And then he raised you up. You became born again. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. If you will, let's stand up. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to let you go. We've got a Super Bowl to watch. Amen. Hallelujah. Got some food to eat. But let me just let you go with this here. So what the word of God says, wherefore I put you in remembrance. Listen, I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God, which is in you by the putting on of my hands. Stir up that gift. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. I hope you're not afraid of anything going around you, because you shouldn't be. You are of the kingdom, and this kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. It's never going to dissolve. Hallelujah. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of love and according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to what? His purpose and grace. Folks, this is to every person that's in the house. He's got a purpose. He's got grace for you to do that purpose. Just allow him the room. According to his own purpose and grace, which was given in Christ Jesus before the world, but is now manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. How many say amen? Did Jesus abolish death? Oh, that's a whole different subject, and I can't talk to you about that this morning. But let me just say this to you, that the word God is saying, set your affections on the kingdom. He has placed you in this kingdom. There is nothing shall by any means hurt you. You might go through some things. There might be some afflictions. You might get a cold, and they call it COVID. You might see your bill not get paid this month, but God knows about it, and he's going to take care of you. Is that okay? Right. Is that all right? Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We ask you, Lord, that you would, Father, continue to strengthen us and build us, to cause us to understand this kingdom that you placed us into. Father, we thank you that you have watched over us even before the world began. You have planned for us, Father. So, Lord, help us, Father, to do that what you have called us to do and nothing else. If you agree, say amen. Amen. God loves you. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Whatever ailment is upon you, be healed in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's give him a hand. Tell him thank you, Lord. Praise God.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.